It's time now for a community connection here on K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3. This morning, we have the pleasure of sitting down with Congressman Frank Lucas. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Oh, Garrett, I'm good to be with you. We're in session today in the United States Capitol, working on a variety of things. It seems like there's a never-ending stream of subjects and matters to be focused on, and I'm just happy to be with you this morning for a little bit.
It's nice for you to join us as well. What are you guys going to be working on here this week and today?
Well, the big focus are a variety of things going on around us. The legislative agenda is not too particularly aggressive. We're trying to digest this latest economic report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that was released in April of 2019, just a few weeks ago, noting that the U.S. nationwide had the lowest unemployment rate in 49 years at 3.6%. That hasn't happened literally in a half a century. U.S. wages are growing at 3.2% in the last 2 months, again, nationwide. The country as a whole has added 5 million jobs in the last basically 8 years, so it's impressive to see the 13th month of economic growth. And a combination, I think, Garrett, that helped make this happen is, one, the tax relief passed last year to help stimulate business investment, put your money back into your enterprise, start a new enterprise, try and, you know, create more jobs. And also the reduction in the increase in rules and regulations, trying to provide some certainty to business and folks so that they are able to make wise decisions to move forward. Some would say that all of this tees off of international trade. And, you know, Garrett, that might be a good point for us to talk for just a little bit about what's going on with the Chinese issue or the trade wars or however you want to describe that, if we can.
Yes, and the new NAFTA deal, I actually wanted to ask you a little bit about that. Why hasn't Nancy Pelosi brought that to the floor?
Speaker Pelosi, and first, the President Trump said not only do we need to renegotiate how we do business with the Chinese, but also our neighbors to the south in Mexico, our neighbors north in Canada, the Japanese, and the Europeans. The first trade agreement has been completed. It is the successor to NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. The President refers to it as United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA. It is an improvement over what we have. From agriculture's perspective, it's important because literally before the trade war started, 40% of the hogs raised in Oklahoma were sold in Mexico, consumed in Mexico. Half the corn consumed in Mexico came from the United States, so the market matters. Speaker Pelosi, under the Fast Track Authority, basically has to officially accept the president's agreement that he's negotiated. Then it starts the clock for us to debate the issue in Congress and then ultimately have, as these trade agreements are handled, an up or down vote, yes or no. There are some who say that Speaker Pelosi won't let it come to the floor because there are certain people in her conference who say that you need to renegotiate the environmental standards, make the Mexicans do more environmentally on those issues. There's some who say that members of the Speaker's caucus say that we need to force the Mexicans to change their labor laws. I would argue that probably Mexico City, the national government of Mexico, has gone as far as they can on both of those issues. We just need to vote on this. It will pass overwhelming Republican support. There'll be Democrats who will vote for it too. It will pass, but right now the Speaker's holding it back. Now, that matters, one, because if you're a hog farmer, if you're a corn farmer, for instance, that slows down your ability to sell to the South. But in the big picture sense, Garrett, we need every bit of leverage we can to move the Chinese to a point where they're more equitable and more fair in how we do business with them. And the completed agreement with our neighbors to the north and the south would give us more leverage. The Chinese in the last 20 years have sold us typically almost 4 times more stuff than they bought from us. So we have sent huge amounts of money to China. It's U.S. dollars that have developed their economy. The president said that wasn't fair, and he launched into what some people now call a trade war, using tariffs, which is import fees, on Chinese goods. That's under existing law. He has that authority. The Chinese are under pressure, and some would say, well, what do the Chinese have to fear from this? They have to have somewhere to sell the stuff they make, and you put those import fees on it, it slows down their sales, puts pressure on their economy. So they're under pressure to come to a deal with us. And on the ag side, for instance, they've got some extraordinary issues they're dealing with. they have a big outbreak of African swine fever in China. It has dramatically reduced the pork that's available because the animals have to be destroyed when they get this disease. Right now, the Chinese consume basically half of the global production of pork in the whole world, and they're having to buy U.S. hogs to supplement the hogs they don't have anymore in China. Bottom line is this, the pressure's on the Chinese. If we can just hold our breath a little bit longer, I am told by people I trust at the White House that a couple of weeks ago, the deal was essentially done, and for whatever reason, the Chinese backed out on part of it, and the president's trying to get their attention. But if we prevail, and I think we will, then we'll have a fair trading situation with the Chinese for the next 50 years. If we don't, and we go back to where we were, where they sell four times more stuff than they buy from us, then pretty soon they'll own the whole country, and we can't let that happen yet.
And why do you think that this will prevail moving forward?
I think the Chinese have more at stake than we do. They have to move the stuff they produce into world markets. And like the African swine fever epidemic, they've got to buy pork from us because no one else has the capacity to meet that kind of demand. Even in things like soybeans, where they said they wouldn't buy any more U.S. soybeans, they bought basically every bean in South America and Central America and around the world. That wasn't enough. So now in recent weeks, they've had to come back in and buy U.S. soybeans because they just can't get enough to feed those 1 billion people over there. They need us worse than we need them. So we just have to push this a little harder. Ultimately, we'll be so much better off, and we've come so far. Again, if we give up, then we'll go back to sending them boatloads of money, in effect, and pretty soon they will own the entire country of the United States.
Now, how do you get Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats to kind of get on board with this kind of new NAFTA deal and the trade with China and the other countries?
It comes down to how hard will the country Democrats and the Democrats in her conference who come from districts that manufacture stuff, do business with Mexico and Canada, how much pressure will they put on her? I'm not, as a Republican, in a position to put much pressure on Nancy, but how much pressure will their own conference put on her? How much pressure can the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the American Farm Bureau and the American Farmers Union, how much pressure can those folks put on? Her issue, I truly believe it's not so much an economic issue, it's the politics within her conference. And sometimes, you know, if you're Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, that's the first office mentioned in the Constitution. That's second in succession right behind the Vice President. Sometimes you have to do what's in the best interest of the whole country.
And how do you think that these businesses or whatever, the committees that you were mentioning, add the pressure to her to make this happen?
Because they say to her party members in the United States House, and they say to the people who support her around the country, you're hurting us, you're preventing us from being able to get on with things, no matter what she may or may not think about the president's efforts to negotiate in China or Europe or with Japan. Our best and most consistent trading partners are our neighbors to the north and south. We have to get back into those markets. The pressure has to mount. And right now, just as we apply tariffs to what the Chinese are saying in the United States, so our neighbors, in particular in Mexico, are applying tariffs to pork and corn and a variety of other things going down there. So it's putting pressure on U.S. producers. Just as our tariffs put pressure on the Chinese, so the Mexican tariffs are putting pressure on us.
And how should the Americans feel about this trade deal moving forward?
I think they should be optimistic about USMCA happening because that gives us more leverage, I think, to finish the European agreement and to negotiate with the Japanese who desperately want to do business with us. And once we line all that up, that ultimately puts so much pressure on the Chinese, they cannot ignore us. But again, between the problems they're having with their food supply right now because of disease at home in China, for instance, the problems they're having with their economy because suddenly those tariffs slow down the sales of Chinese goods in the United States, which means the factories slow down at home in China, which means it begins to impact the workers in those factories and the factory owners, the pressure's on. That's why you've seen, I think, the tension ratcheting up so high. The Chinese have had a wonderful sweet deal for the last 20-plus years. They don't want to give it up. And if you had taken the trading arrangements they've had just and look back 40 years, go from a primitive economy to a modern, super-efficient economy, with the U.S. paying for it, hallelujah, you wouldn't want to change either. But we can't continue to offload every manufacturing job and send boatloads of money to China. We as a country in the United States, we cannot continue to do that. So this is a struggle that has to be fought.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about trade before we go ahead and move on?
I would just simply say that I appreciate, I understand as a farmer, the pressure that my fellow farmers and ranchers are facing. We have always been exporters in this country. Go back to the beginning of the country. We've always raised more food, more fiber, more meat than we can consume. We have to have world markets to sell into, but we don't want to give it away.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck in getting that new NAFTA deal passed. I'm seeing that you are currently on temporary leave from the House Committee on Agriculture and serve as the ranking member of the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. What can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. This is one of those committees that doesn't draw a lot of discussion sometimes in the town meetings, but it's jurisdiction over NOAA, the National Weather Service, the satellites that monitor the weather, the ground stations, all that sort of stuff. It's jurisdiction over the National Science Foundation. That's the federal entity that provides research dollars for healthcare and energy and just a variety of what you would call pure kind of research. It's also the entity with jurisdiction over NASA, the National Space and Aeronautics Administration. It's a fun committee because we are doing in this country some of the most amazing research from healthcare to technology to ag. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. Right now, the profile of the committee has been raised higher because Vice President Pence has been put in charge of the National Space Council, and the Vice President's agenda and the National Space Council's agenda is to get back first to the moon and then ultimately go on to Mars. We have a more enthusiastic chief executive team, President Trump and Vice President Pence, than perhaps we've had any time since President Kennedy and Vice President Johnson. They are very focused. Now, some would say, why does this matter? Well, we have maintained the technological lead for all these decades in space and all the related sciences. We have orbiting space telescopes. We've sent unmanned vehicles to every planet of any in the solar system. We've done all that sort of stuff, gathering knowledge. But right now, there's a secondary issue to this. We also need to remember that we have one other world power that's now aggressively moving into space, and that is the Chinese. A couple months ago, they put a lander on the backside of the moon. Now, the way the moon orbits the Earth, you always see the same side from Earth. So when you put a lander on the backside of the moon, it cannot directly communicate with Earth. So the Chinese had to put a series of satellites, communication satellites, in orbit around the moon in order for their lander to communicate with the Earth. That represents an incredible technological move forward on their part. The kind of things that we do, but nobody else has done now until them. Popular press has reported in the last 14 days coming out of Asia that the Chinese say that they are going to have a permanent manned base on the moon in the next 10 years.
How important is it to kind of catch up with China on this kind of technological advancement?
Exactly. We have to maintain our lead. The Vice President says that we need to put what he refers to as Gateway, a little orbiting space station around the moon. We'll use that to go and come from the moon. We'll go down to the moon. Then it will also be a staging area to go on to Mars. And in addition to just pure technology, there's also mining opportunities, it appears, on Mars and the moon and the asteroids, so it's an economic issue. Think about Spain sending Christopher Columbus out 500-plus years ago. You have to be on the cutting edge or you get left behind. Again, it's a fun committee, the science committee. It's the most amazing technology. We are in another space race. The national media tends to ignore that, but we literally are. If Sputnik got us to the Russian satellite back in the 50s, got us to the moon in 1969, the fact that the Chinese have put equipment on the backside of the moon and said they're going to have a base in 10 years should just scare the living whatever out of us.
Thank you, Congressman Lucas, for joining us this morning.
My pleasure to be with you, Garrett.
That was a Community Connection here on K1.